All right, it is time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frick and frack of Nick and Knack. You'll find them at tqag.com on the web and right here on a Tuesday morning. Good morning.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
Good morning.
Gobble, gobble, gobble is right. So are you guys all set for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, we're not doing anything. We're just laying low because of what's going on with the pandemic. And we're just
going to go see my mom and dad.
Oh, okay.
And that's it. And mom and dad have been very, very good. They really haven't. I've been helping them with their shopping, and they haven't been going out really at all. So we're going to bring food to them and just celebrate, and then do Zoom calls to my brother and his wife and my sister and brother-in-law. So.
Well,
that's our plan. That's
a good plan. What happened this year, you know, we used to get an organic turkey, natural turkey, you know, raised organically, right? But they stopped doing it a year ago. So we didn't do it last year. We're not doing it this year. The one thing it does for us, though, is it goes from being $10 a pound down to $2.50 a pound for a turkey.
Well, yeah.
So yeah, you can buy a lot of extra alcohol for that money, which of course we need to drink. Now I'm going to be in trouble because I think Jill had left me something to talk to you guys about, and in traditional Marshall Miles fashion, I have no idea what I did with it. So I meant so.
Okay.
So
maybe one day she can be a special guest.
Now you sound awful away from a microphone there, Greg.
Yeah.
Oh, where are you, Greg?
Sounds like you're on the other side of the room.
Sounds like you're like at the ocean. I guess you're all this. Doesn't it, Marshall?
Yeah, right? There's a little in the background.
There is.
Well,
there
is.
Anyway,
well,
let me try something else while you guys.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I wanted to talk about something that I thought that this is a follow up from something we talked about back in July. Do you remember July?
No, it's been one big month since February.
Exactly. Well, so I had to search back in my memory banks here and. Back in July, we were talking about a Super Mario Brothers video game that sold at Heritage Auctions. And at that time, it broke a record and it sold for $114,000. Well, just last week, Heritage had a Super Mario Brothers 3 game And it's interesting what they're doing now with these games is that they're doing what they've done with the comic books, is that they are encasing them and they are grading them so that they turn out to be, you know, what grade they are and if they're in good condition. Well, this one sold. It's a sealed copy from 1990, and it sold for $156,000. Now, the interesting story behind this as well. So, you know, it's gone up. And there's lots of interest, but what is interesting about this is that this is part of what is known as the Kmart find. So this was more than your Kmart Blue Special, Blue Light Special. This was the Kmart find because these games were in a group of, like, they were marked at a dollar back in the 90s, because at that point they had sold out. It's run its course. Nobody thought anything about it. Somebody went in and bought the entire group of these that was left over on the shelf in the 90s, held on to them, never opened them, held on to them. So that was 90s. So 2000s, you know, 2020s, 10s, 20s. So almost 30 years later, we're looking at things that have then been graded. They have been encapsulated. And since they had never been opened or used, they had a very high grade. And this was part of that stash. And it sold very, very well at $156,000. So it's now broken the record. And Heritage just put out a press release just yesterday, or I think it was yesterday or maybe on Friday, saying after this auction, we plan to include video games, sealed and certified video games in every one of our comic and comic art auctions, because everyone that they, and of course the ones that they've had were sold really, really well. So they're looking for those very desirable, interesting video games. And I mean, if you can, in a collectible, for me, seeing collectibles sell for this amount and things that, especially these video games that were just encased, and 30 years ago, people, you know, you could buy them for a dollar, and now you're able to sell it for $156,000 or even over $100,000. You don't find that in collectibles that often.
No, I mean, holy smokes.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, but once again, it sounds like you're on an ocean beach.
You know
what you should try to do, Greg? Go on your cell phone, turn off your computer, and maybe I'll give you a buzz on your cell phone, see if that works any better. Now we can't hear him at all, Tim.
We can't hear you at all. Yeah, he is talking. I hear him in the other room talk. I don't know who he's talking to.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because yesterday I got a gift from one of my sons, and it arrived, and I didn't expect it. And I opened it up, and it was a brand new Monopoly game, but it's the Godzilla Monopoly game, okay?
Uh-huh,
and I'm a big Godzilla fan. I own just about digitally. I think I own 18 Godzilla movies and all the new ones. I'm a big Godzilla fan. I have always been my whole life. And so the first thing I did is I found a place where I could hang it on the wall, because I'm not going to open it. I'm not going to play it.
Oh, sure.
So it's perfectly sealed. And so I've got it on display. And the first person that came into my house said, what do you got that on the wall for? So I said, well, I'm a big Godzilla fan. I own all the films, so I'm going to save this. And who knows, maybe when I'm long dead and gone, my son who sent it to me can figure out and find out, hey, I spent 20-some bucks on this. Maybe it'll be worth $100. I can get some money back on it.
Right, right. And you know what they'll do is that they will encase them. I mean, there are the grading, the comic grading companies, they've realized that, you know, there's a limited well or a limited number. There's a lot, but a limited number of comic books, because once you have your comic book graded and it's already sealed, well, then you don't have to have it graded again. So what they've expanded into to expand their business, other collectibles. So like these video games, they've now encapsulated, and your Monopoly game and things like that, they would then, I would assume, encapsulate. So that the condition can remain, you know, in that great condition.
Well, it's just very interesting that you brought that up, because I'm doing it only because I'm a Godzilla collector. I've got Godzilla.
Sure.
I've got Godzilla knickknacks here at the station. I've got Godzilla knickknacks. For some reason, as a kid, Raymond Burr being in the original Godzilla.
Uh-huh.
Got me for life.
That's great.
I don't expect.
But see, there's those things. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I don't expect to make money off of it, but it's one of those things that I've just stayed close to. Just like, I'll be honest with you now, also, the comic book. I've got a comic book that goes back many, many years from Marvel. And now I own all the videos that were done off that as well, simply because I liked that one particular thing. So I mean,
right.
And I don't do it to collect it and think I'm going to make money. I just do it because it's nice having that around. It ties me back to when I was a kid, and I can still enjoy it to this day.
No, and that's what I like to always say about collecting. And that you don't do that for investment purposes. You do it because of the nostalgia factor. It brings you these great memories. When you see that, it just reminds you of your halcyon days, of your youth and things that were going on at that point. And that it's fun. And that's part of what the fun is. For me, when I looked at, even just looking at this story and seeing, you know, I remember when Super Mario Brothers came out, and I never was into Mario. I was more into Ms. Pac-Man, and that was my favorite. but Super Mario, it's like, oh, okay, this is cute. But I never really got into that. Knew that it was around there, knew that it was out there. To see this like 30 years later, it's just really, really fascinating, because it's like, oh, okay. And now what they're doing and how they're preserving it, because that, and elevating the whole thing of collecting and grading these things so that you know you're buying something that's original, you know that you're getting something, because with a video game, how do you know that there's even anything in the box? You know what I mean? Or in the case, it could be, and I hate to say this, but when things start selling for over $100,000, like when it starts selling for a lot of money, you're going to see a lot of fakes that could be out there as well. So I'm sure that people are finding ways to just reproduce the label and put it on a piece of cardboard and say, oh, look, I've got one of those. But that's what happens. This is the next step when things start selling for a lot of money, is that then you have to start looking about, well, now we've got to worry about, are there going to be fakes in the marketplace, and how do we tell? And that's why you have to have them graded and take a look. Also in that sale at Heritage, this is another thing that I just never really got into, but this sold really well. It was a Pokemon game, and it ended up selling. It was Pokemon Red. A sealed copy of Pokemon Red became the most expensive Pokemon game sold, and it sold for $84,000. I mean, that to me, I just don't get. But there again, it was the best condition, and what it comes down to is that there is desirability on some of these games and these things that were popular at that time. And, you know, and I think a lot of it is, you can see the evolution in the gaming world of, or games, you know, from these cartridges to now these larger than life, you know, these action packed games that are going on and everything. And it'll be interesting to see where we are in the next 10 years with all the technology. So it harkens back to, oh, this, and it's hard to believe that something like Super Mario Brothers, but that becomes vintage and desirable to gamers.
Look at all those Atari games. That
yes,
that, and
right.
I used to be a
you're
big right. Atari game person. I had, and you know, of course I got rid of them over the years. But the Atari
sure.
games now, if you have the originals. What was the story?
They do well.
One guy dug up a whole bunch of Atari games that were in a dump site, and they had been under dirt. But he still sold them for a fortune.
Yes, yes, and it's those sort of things. So, and it goes back to what we've talked about in the past before. It's when you get to the first of anything, a first in a series, the beginning of a series, the beginning, or as you're getting to the end and they're not going to have any more. It's those become very desirable. But, you know, Super Mario, you know, this was Super Mario 3. And what accounted for this is that also that had the backstory never opened. It was part of this collection that people, that collectors knew about that existed out there. So that also drove the bidding on this, which was fascinating. So this, I wanted to bring this up because I thought, well, with the holidays coming and maybe we don't have a lot of family coming, you might be doing some other entertaining and maybe getting into games or getting into something you can enjoy it during the holiday season.
But it's interesting we talk about this because I do have somewhere in my closet the original comic book series. I've got two or three of them, The Watchmen. And of course, The Watchmen, The Watchmen became a fantastic movie, which was done in the 80s, which I now own. And also the HBO miniseries that they did on The Watchmen.
Yes.
And the great thing about, and the reason I still have that is, the inception of the story, if you were a kid and you have that comic, you have that. You guess what? You know, you have the whole. You can stay current throughout whatever anybody does with it. You know
sure.
the whole story, and someday, who knows, that comic book might be worth something.
Could be, No, and that's the thing with collectibles is that it is an unknown. And if we could predict the future, that you know, that's it's just like with the stock market. Well, what stocks are going to go up? I don't know. We see where the trends are, we see where things are going, but it's not something you can predict, and you don't have a crystal ball. That's the difficulty. But the reason that you collect is because you like it,
yeah,
and you enjoy it, and that's should be the driving force. I mean, in anything, no matter what it is. And if it does increase over time, that's just an added benefit.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to invest in something, it's a business investment. That's totally different, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you've got
No.
money, if you've got money and you want to invest in something because it will give you a return in the future, that's
Correct.
Absolute. That's there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But
Correct.
I am the type of person that the money does, and my grandmother always used to get upset at me. But money never mattered.
right.
Like that to
but
me.
Also, Marshall, what I would add is that if you are going into that and doing it for investment, you better go in with your eyes wide open
yeah.
and realize that you may also lose a lot of money.
Well,
I
was just going to say that if you're somebody who knows about investment, it's a great angle. If you're somebody that once again bought 5,000 Beanie Babies, well,
wrong thing, because you're just falling for the hype and the things that are going on out there. You know, and it's the same with collector plates and you know just different things that were just mass produced and that nobody, you know, really, really wants or is even interested in. So I think we've lost Greg. I think he went into the surf.
You know what? I think from now on, what we're going to have Greg do is not use his, he probably has that fancy setup for the Silver Chef, not to use that, just to use his iPhone from now on. And I'll connect
okay.
him on the iPhone. And I think that'll work better. I think that's what, because there's always been some feedback problems and stuff because his setup is so crystal clear. So
yeah.
maybe we'll just see if you can nudge him just to use the iPhone.
Is that better? Can you hear me?
Oh,
now we can.
Yeah,
yes.
You are.
What'd you do?
I switched over to my iPhone.
Yeah. I think we should leave it on your iPhone from now on because your setup is so good there. Normally it's so crystal clear. We even get feedback, but the iPhone sounds perfect. So let's do it that way from now on.
I can't believe I got in just enough time to make one sarcastic remark.
Okay.
and there it is, right there.
Well, you actually we have a minute and a half if you want to make more sarcastic remarks.
Oh my gosh! No, I'll use my earbuds and my iPhone from now on.
Yeah, because it sounds great.
Yeah.
It sounded like you were slowly fading away, lost like in space, and we were losing contact with you there.
Yeah, like
kind of like
the
whole
the
year.
well, guys, I want you guys to have your safe Thanksgiving and have a great time. I miss you guys not
you
coming.
You guys is too.
I miss you guys not coming up here every year, but at least we get to chat every week on the on Skype.
Yes. Yes. No. And we appreciate that, and we just hope that everyone has a safe and you know and a happy and be grateful. I mean, at least you know we do have. This is just for right now. We do have a lot that's coming up as far as vaccines and things. So even though it seems like it's bleak and it's like just hold on. Hold on, we'll get through this and move on so that we can get back to some sort of semblance of what we recall as air quotes normal.
to quote that famous little redhead, the sun will come out tomorrow.
Oh, bet your bottom dollar. Bet your bottom dollar.
Tomorrow. All right, guys. I won't speak to you tomorrow, but I'll speak to you next week. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, you too.
Hey, you
Bye.
Too, Marshall. Take care, buddy.
Take care, guys. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This here on Robin Hood Radio. And if you missed it, you can get it anytime you want on demand, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on Appraise This. We've got all the shows cataloged there at robinhoodradio.com on demand.